Praise the first individual from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for faithful service in your church, for faithful parents who brought us to church, for faithful pastors who preached to us, and for the many saints who have gone before us, Lord. And today, especially, we think of, obviously, Martin Luther as it is Reformation Sunday. We thank you that he read your scriptures and he realized that this is all about you, Lord. Help us to realize, too, and remember, this is all about you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your love that you have for us. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Well, it is, of course, Reformation Sunday, and we just sang what is known as the Battle Hymn of the Reformation to many. Mighty Fortress is our God. Just as the ocean is connected to water and water connected to the ocean, it seems that the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is our God, is connected to Martin Luther. Martin Luther knew what it was to struggle spiritually in this world. Okay. His story, of course, oddly begins with being, after studying to become a lawyer, he's in the forest, a huge storm comes upon him, and he cries out for help. And he says, if I'm spared, I promise I'll become a monk or a priest, and I'll go to the monastery. Anybody remember who he called out to? Did he call out to God? Did he call out to Jesus? He called out to Saint Anne, who is said to be the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luther had an idea of who the one true God is. But he did not know him in his spiritual struggles. And it took him a long time, and he would think of his sins. He would spend hours upon hours confessing sins to God, worried about his salvation and where he was going. He thought that he was condemned to hell, not understanding the grace of Jesus Christ yet. The very first time that he served Holy Communion at a Catholic Mass, he trembled so much that he spilled the wine all over the altar. And of course, the understanding that that was Christ's blood that was spilled all over the altar, he thought he was going to be struck down dead by God for that. Of course, we know that through his reading of the scriptures and through his call to teach the scriptures to his students in Wittenberg, that he learned what the gospel was. And even when he hammered those 95 theses to the door, he didn't quite fully understand and grasp God's word yet. He was still learning. His theology that we know of today was not even yet formed. The doctrines that we hold true to see Jesus in these scriptures wasn't even formed yet. But after the spiritual struggles that he had to understand God's nature towards him, it didn't mean that his life got easier. Luther faced a threat of death. There was an edict against him to be arrested on the spot if seen, and that the death penalty was to be given to him from the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire and the Pope, who didn't like Luther. That was always a threat against him. In fact, he was kidnapped by someone who loved him and wanted to protect him. And while he was kidnapped and kept safe in a castle, he translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek into German. But he decided to go and live his life. and he kept on teaching, knowing fully that his life could be ended at any time if the emperor decided to send an army his way. Now, oddly enough, there is a threat from the east and the south too. The radical Islamic nations were spreading Islam by attacking into Europe. One of the things that we forget or that is ill-taught to us in America is that the reason why there was a reason why the Christian nations rose up to fight the Crusades. Oh, they were actually threatened. Their very existence was being threatened by the Islamic nations that were driving towards the West. It was actually probably because of that threat that the Holy Roman Emperor had to focus his armies against their advancement instead of going and getting Luther. There was that threat. Luther not only had that death penalty against his life, or on his life, but he had seen the plague ravage his town. He had seen parishioners die. He and his wife cared for people that they cared about, and they died. He even lost his own dear daughter. When you read some of Luther's readings today, psychologists would say that he would have been diagnosed with clinical depression. And it was actually at that time when he was going through depression when he wrote the very hymn that we sang today, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And he sings of the torment of the devil and the might of the devil, and yet sings of Christ's power over the devil and how Christ has defeated the devil. And so when he says those words, if we were to lose our house, our kids, our spouse, he actually kind of knows that he could put his money where his mouth is there because he saw loss and felt the depression from that loss. And yet he saw something that we often miss today when we talk about the struggles in this world, and that is the spiritual side of things. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. And please note, I am not being critical of anybody who has to take medicine for depression or anything like that. The church has made that mistake. There is a place to talk to counselors. There is a time and place for medicine. But what I am also going to encourage you is don't just focus on the medicinal part of life and the material part of life. Realize that we are all under spiritual attack from the devil. For Luther, it was at first not knowing who God was and not understanding his grace. And then yet the attacks still came to him. In fact, one night when he was translating the Bible, it was said it was late at night, he actually saw the devil come into his room, and Luther took the inkwell and threw it at the devil and told him to be gone. We are in a spiritual warfare. It is not fair. Our dear, sweet children, from the time that they are born, they are part of that warfare as well. The devil wants to see us all condemned to hellfire. That is the reality. And yet Luther is able to see this and write, "A mighty fortress is our God." And it was based off of Psalm 46, which begins, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Are you feeling like you're going through a time of trouble right now in your own life? You know what this psalm is saying? I love the psalms, especially this psalm. This is where poetry meets God's power. That's the psalms. Poetry meets God's power. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Whatever troubles you're going through, God is present with you as you're going through them. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now, we can take this figuratively, or we can take it literally too as well. And and the interpretation and the application that we get could be the very same thing. I remember the last time I preached on this psalm. I've only preached on this psalm twice. Today, and then I winged it when COVID hit. I had a beautiful sermon planned out. I was going to preach on the feeding of the 5,000 that Sunday. But a funny thing happened. I went to Costco on Friday, when everybody was hitting the stores because COVID had hit the United States of America. Everything was being rushed. And people were stockpiling the frozen meats and stockpiling on toilet paper. Remember how hard it was to find toilet paper? Remember those days? The earth was trembling. Or at least we were losing our minds. And I was able to use this psalm and preach to those people. God is a present help in our trouble. And it seems like the earth is giving away right now. But God is present. And so maybe it doesn't feel like the earth is actually giving way physically or literally. Boy, maybe figuratively, some of the things that you're going through right now, you are struggling, and yet God promises to be a very present help. Now, it says that God is our refuge and our strength. And so we are inside that refuge of His. And it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. So the earth can be moved. But we who are gathered as God's people, His church, we are within His protection, and this stream promises a holy provision of the things that we need from God, no matter what we are going through. No matter what we are going through, there is a promise of God's provision. God will help her when morning dawns, and the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, and He utters His voice. God utters His voice, and the earth melts. So, we look at, when you turn on the news, you hear about Russia and Ukraine, right? You hear about Hamas and Israel. You hear about our relationship in the United States. Hey, we're kind of the big bully that we're worried about is China right now, right? The nations are going to rage. And yet, with God's very own voice, the whole earth can melt. That is the power of God over this situation. He can melt the earth. But the promise is that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What does this mean, the Lord of hosts? We're talking about hosts of armies, angel armies. Our God of angel armies is with us. Joseph Stalin one time asked, where are the Pope's armies ready? Well, I can tell you that God has His angel armies, and God is on your side. And He will send His angels concerning you, according to Psalm 91. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What is this God of Jacob? Well, this is where it's good to know the history of our forefathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God and was renamed Israel. And the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans how in faith, we who are Gentiles are not we are not by blood sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but in faith we are sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we've been adopted sons within the family of our forefathers. And so we are Israelites, or sons of Israel, of the faith. We're not Israeli political citizens of Israel, but we are spiritual citizens of God's nation. We are Israelites. We are the church. We are sons and daughters of the King of all creation. He is our God, and He is with us. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent, He created this world, and He is the same God who is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He sent His Son to die for us and to rise for us. Come behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, He shatters the spear, and He burns the chariots with fire, meaning that He is more powerful than any army. So we can then in verse 10 be still and know that I am God. The poetry changes. The writer of Psalm 46 first speaks of the trust that we can have in God's promises and the great things of God. Then he has God speak to us directly, where God says to us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now I know that in life, it can be very hard to see and to wonder if God is good before us, right? There's always that question. Well, God is all good and all powerful. How does evil exist? Why do bad things happen to us? It's, even if you logically know that that is wrong, sometimes we still kind of emotionally fall into that. Like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you putting me through this situation that I'm in? Why am I suffering so much? Where are you in this suffering, God? Remember, we know that God is for us and with us because of what His Son did on the cross for us. There's no greater love than He who lays His life down for His friends. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ. And Luther realized that. In his moment of darkness, he realized what a friend he had in Jesus. He knew his Psalms. In fact, one of the first classes that Luther taught out of the Scriptures was the Psalms. The God of Jacob, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is guarding us and He is protecting us. No matter what we go through, God is with us. He is our very present help in times of trouble. And one day, when God returns, when Jesus returns, and truly the world becomes renewed, and mountains are tossed into the sea, and everything is made new again, we know that we are about to enter into an eternal life of joyous bliss that we cannot, that just goes beyond all explanation. But we know from the promises of Revelation will not exist. All things are cursed. All things that cause despair. Hatred, murder, lust, greed, starvation, famine, sickness, wars, those things are going to cease to exist. The evil one, the devil, who with one little word can be driven away, and that word is liar. will be cast forever into the lake of fire. But because the Son remains in the house forever, and the Son has set you free, as we read in John, and you are free indeed because you believe in Him, you are not going to be cast into the lake of fire. You are going to be with God for all eternity. And you will see Jesus face to face, and He will wipe away every tear. And He will be your source of joy for all of eternity, forever and ever. So we have that to look forward to. But now, in our present circumstance, in this spiritual warfare that we are in, we can look to God, and we can be still, knowing that He is God. And knowing that He is an ever-present help in all of our struggles right now. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God that should pass on all our standing guards, your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.